This is The Faith Debate, a theological roundtable gabfest, a free-for-all forum with faith community leaders wrestling over the truth.
Hoo-ah.
In less than one half hour, learn more about what really matters than what most others learn in a week.
Hoo-ah.
The Faith Debate is on the World Wide Web at WFMD.com, keyword faith. Are you ready for the clash of ideas? Are you ready for the sound of freedom? Let's get ready to rumble in this corner, weighing in with a Master of Divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary, the Faith Debate Master of Ceremonies.
Oh, yeah.
Troy Skinner.
Thank you for tuning in. We are going to be hard-pressed to squeeze everything in really quickly here today, and so I'm going to jump right into the message and get it in just in the nick of time at the tail end of the show. Thanks for listening to the Faith Debate on 930 WFMD.
I'm going to share with you a personal story that will help to illustrate that Jesus is Lord, Savior, and King today. My son Tyler was born very sick. One of my earliest memories of him after his birth is that of his breathing. His entire body, it convulsed in and out so violently that his rib cage practically touched his spinal column. I wouldn't have believed that it was possible for a human body to do that if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. He was struggling to force down every breath, and he was failing in that struggle because his lungs weren't capable yet of doing their job. I thought for sure that he would die within minutes. He didn't. Over the course of a few days, his breathing, it steadied. But his skin, it had purple dots all over it, and it was yellow. Really yellow. It was caused by elevated bilirubin in his blood. You might know this as having jaundice. Now, bilirubin, that's the junk that's in our blood that's supposed to be cleared out. And a normal bilirubin count, I'm told, is something like 0.001, basically zero. Now, sometimes a baby has a bilirubin count of 1 or 2, or maybe a more dangerous 3 or 4. And so the doctors, they place these lights over them in the hospital, and somehow that helps to bring that number down. Well, Tyler's number was well over 3 or 4. And it kept climbing. Now, the liver, that's what cleans all this garbage out of our blood. And Tyler's liver was not working. So his jaundice number, it just kept climbing. Now, the doctors, to assure us, they said, you know, let's not worry too much. As long as that number stays in single digits, doesn't go into double digits, we'll be okay. And it went into double digits. So then they explained, well, there's two parts to bilirubin. There's what's called direct and indirect bilirubin. And as long as the direct stays in single digits, you'll be okay. And then the direct went into double digits. And now his skin, it wasn't yellow. It was green. Seriously. Green. Sometimes he'd have this scrunched up look on his face. He looked like the Grinch who stole Christmas. And I would joke, it's not easy being green. Bilirubin went well over 20. And at that point, I said to the doctors, how high can this number go? And they said, that's a very good question. They had been researching it themselves, and they could find no evidence of any record anywhere with anyone ever having a bilirubin count so high as Tyler's was at that moment. And it was still going up. It went up all the way to 30.5. Tyler had a liver biopsy. He had liver surgery. Consultation was sought from leading medical experts across the nation, nothing helped. We thought for sure that he would die within weeks. He didn't. Tyler was sent home from the NICU after 2 months, and we are convinced to this day that he was sent home to die. He was seeing 8 specialists who needed to see him every week. Most of them 2-3 times a week. And so we took Tyler to several doctor's appointments per day He was on 12 different medications. We fed him by using a syringe to shoot the food down the back of his throat because he was too weak to suck and swallow. He would be back in the hospital in about a month. He had biliary atresia surgery and bilateral hernia repair and hypospadias surgery and strabismus surgery and exploratory procedures and gastrointestinal intervention for reflux and esophagitis and thrush and other issues, both serious and relatively minor. And because of his condition, he needed to eat every 2 hours. And we would spend an hour getting his food and all of his medicines together and then into him with that syringe to get everything he needed into his stomach, only to spend the next hour cleaning up his projectile vomit. All day. Every day. Tyler was sick. Everyone thought for sure that he would die within months. He didn't. And the biggest threat to his life I haven't even mentioned yet. Tyler had hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and pulmonary stenosis, which means that his arteries were way too narrow and the muscle for his heart was way too thick. 4 times thicker than it should have been. He weighed 5 pounds and his heart muscle was as thick as that of a 40-year-old man. We asked our cardiologist to shoot straight with us. For our sanity, we needed an honest prognosis. Doctors don't like answering that question. So he hesitated. But then he said, there was no medical reason why Tyler was still alive at that moment. And it was not likely that he would see his first birthday. And there was just no way he would see a second. He should have died in less than 2 years. He didn't. Why? Because God had a plan and a purpose for this boy born sick. So let's fast forward a number of years, and now we have a 10-year-old boy who still couldn't eat solid foods. Everything had to be put through the blender first. He had recently learned to feed himself with a spoon, so that was good. But we prayed in the name of Jesus Christ with a dedicated circle of prayer warriors. And when Tyler was 13 years old, he was finally able to eat non-blenderized food for the first time. We threw a party. We celebrated this answer to prayer. We invited all of our prayer warrior friends. We had the invitation to the party blown up to poster size, and everyone in attendance signed it. It is framed and hanging in the foyer of our home today as one of the first things you will see when you walk in our home as a testimony that God answers prayer and heals the sick. So the lung problem, it went away, resolving itself, so the doctors told us. The liver problem with the possibly high bilirubin count went away, in spite of the failed efforts of the medical community. Many of his physical and developmental issues were successfully addressed, in fairness, by highly trained doctors and therapists with this unreal effort and love and patience from my wife, Dina, sustained by God's grace. And now Tyler could eat real food. Not all foods. solid food. Amazing answers to prayer. But there was still the ticking time bomb. His heart. The hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and the pulmonic stenosis were not getting better. He saw a specialist in Orlando, New York, Syracuse, Buffalo, Baltimore, D.C., the best in the world at what they do. And there was nothing to be done. Every few months at this point, he needed to see his local cardiologist, a beautiful Muslim man named Dr. Hassan Abdallah. And every visit, Dina would say, "We're praying for a miracle, Dr. Abdallah." And he would smile and encourage. And then Tyler started having these episodes where he couldn't get his breath, and he'd come into our room late at night, panicked, turning gray. And Dina would hold him, and she would rock him, and she would pump his arms and legs to try to get some blood flow, take him into the steaming shower, hoping that anything might help. Dr. Abdallah asked to see Tyler every month now. And every visit, Dina would say, "We're praying for a miracle, Dr. Abdallah." And then the doctor saw second and third and fourth opinions, sending Tyler to medical facilities throughout the region. And Dr. Abdallah at this point stopped accepting payments for Tyler's visits. And we didn't understand why. We found out later it is because Tyler was dying, and the doctor could not bring himself to tell us. His heart was breaking for us. As Tyler's heart, after years of struggle, was ready to call it quits. This is why he couldn't breathe sometimes. That's why he turned gray. He was in heart failure. And there was nothing to be done. All the doctors had exhausted all the options that their training and technology gave them. Yet Dina kept trudging Tyler to doctor visit, and after seeing so many echocardiograms and EKGs, she was becoming expert at reading them. And dozens of echoes, with the doctors and the technicians always explaining what they were seeing, where the problems were, what a normal echo should look like. It was really sort of fascinating, actually. Then it was time for another visit to Dr. Abdallah. As usual, Dina greeted him by saying, "We're praying for a miracle, Dr. Abdallah." And as usual, Dr. Abdallah politely smiled and got to work. And as he performed the echocardiogram, Dina watched as usual, but somehow this time didn't seem as usual. The echo, it looked different to Dina. And Dr. Abdallah, he noticed it too, and he kept looking, and he adjusted his view, and he double-checked where he'd already looked, taking much longer to keep performing this procedure, way longer than usual. And Dina began to think she understood why. And the doctor turned to Dina, and he asked, "Do you see that?" And Dina said, "Yes." It looked to her like the image of Tyler's heart was normal. Dr. Abdallah removed his glasses and wiped the tear from his eyes. And he looked Dina straight in the eyes and asked, "Who do you pray to?" And as you might imagine, at this time, Dina's eyes were flooding with tears, and she answered, "Jesus, we pray to Jesus." And Dr. Abella said, "Well, your Jesus has healed your son." Tyler's heart was normal. And so Dina and the doctor, they embraced and they enjoyed a long cry together. And they rejoiced together at what Jesus had just done. One of them having just been reminded of who Jesus is. The other one having just been introduced to who Jesus is. I know that this story seems utterly fantastic, but it's 100% true. It is true. As documented medical evidence that this really happened, I'm going to share with you a portion of Dr. Abella's medical report to Tyler's primary care physician, which we've had framed. It hangs in Tyler's bedroom. "I had the pleasure of evaluating your patient, Tyler Skinner, a 13-year-old young man with Williams syndrome. He had bilateral branch pulmonary artery stenosis and severe hypertrophy of the right ventricle. Since I saw him last time, he's done tremendous progress. He does not have any chest pains. He is more energetic. A 2D echo revealed the presence of normal segmental cardiac anatomy. The systemic venous return was normal. The right atrium was normal. There was no atrial septal defect. The right ventricle was normal. Both arteries demonstrated normal color and Doppler flow velocities. The left ventricle was normal in size. The aortic valve was normal. The supravalvular aortic area was normal. There was no aortic or supraarctic valve stenosis. The peak systolic velocity across that area was 1.2, which is normal. The aortic arch was normal. There was no patent ductus arteriosus. There is no pericardial effusion." Conclusions. I am truly amazed at the spontaneous resolution of this child's cardiac findings. This is not what we expect to see in a typical patient with Williams syndrome. The natural history for the branched pulmonary arteries in patients with Williams syndrome is progressive worsening, progressive right ventricle failure and dysfunction. This patient currently does not have any cardiac abnormality. Looking at the other outstanding improvement that happened to this child with no medical intervention at all just makes me feel miraculously touched that this thing happened. This child, as you know, was doomed at birth that he will not live with multiple failures, and his cardiac was severe at one point by more than one pediatric cardiologist, including myself. I only thank the God for how good this patient is doing. Recommendations, normal treatment for age. Signed, Azam Abdallah, MD. Let me review the basics of Tyler's story. Tyler was born sick. Trust in God proved to be the only option. Our efforts, the medical community's knowledge, failed. But God had a plan and a purpose for this boy riddled with sickness. And when God healed Tyler, the Muslim doctor asked, "Who do you pray to?" Allow me to review the basics your story. You were born sick. Dead in your sin, in fact. Trust in God, your only option. Your own efforts, even your increase in knowledge, fail to rescue you. But God has a plan and a purpose for you, riddled with sickness. And so now as you reflect on your personal story of healing, let me ask, who do you pray to? In whom do you trust? Like Tyler, all of us are born sick. A death sentence hanging over us. Nothing anyone but God can do about it. Like Tyler, we must fight to persevere, to overcome, to allow others into our lives around us, to minister to us with the talents and gifts that God has given them. We are just like Tyler. All of us, exactly the same scenario, just minor differences in degree. Tyler's heart is healed today because Jesus is Lord today. Your spiritual heart is healed today, if you're a Christian. Because Jesus is Savior today. Christ's kingdom is advancing today, even to the witness of Muslim doctors, because Jesus is King today. Jesus is Lord, Savior, and King right now. Don't forget. Don't neglect to proclaim it. That would seem a good ending, wouldn't it? However, what are we to do with the fact that Tyler still has difficulties despite all these miraculous healings? He is still affected by Williams syndrome and autism spectrum disorder. Well, we see a connection, even here, between Tyler and our condition. In Christ, Tyler is 100% healed right now. We just cannot fully see it yet. As is written in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, for by a single offering, he has, past tense, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. It is finished. In heaven, we will see Tyler's full healing perfectly, just like with us. In Christ, we are already healed, but cannot yet fully see the fullness of this until we arrive in heaven. So don't be distracted by what your eyes can see through a glass dimly. The truth remains clear to those whom God has given eyes to see. We needed God to come and live on earth as a man, to rescue us from being dead in sin. And he did this for us. He limited himself. He condescended to become man. The true God truly became man. This is the point of Christmas. And he is Savior of the world today. He is risen. That is the point of Easter. Trust God. He loves you. He made you. He has offered you the promise of heaven, not because you deserve it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Just love him back. You love him back through repentance and obedience. Just love him back. Once upon a time, and happily ever after. And right now, Jesus reigns.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com. A service of Partners in Care, Upscale Resale Boutique in the Willow Tree Plaza.